Good morning and welcome to The Way I See It. My name is Vanessa Coleman. So what's on the menu today? Well, hard on the heels of Charles Kennedy's untimely death, I thought I would take a look at alcohol and alcoholism. Having drunk copious amounts of red wine over the past half a century, I was pleased to read in the local Daily Echo that the family of a centenarian from West Moors believes the secret to her reaching the age of 100 is drinking red wine every day. I've often wondered where you draw the line between being a regular drinker and an alcoholic. I must admit that I've never thought of alcoholism as being a disease. In my mind, I've always seen it as a weakness. In other words, not being able to say no, even when you know it is doing you harm and affecting your life. I therefore found the article in last week's Daily Mail by Dr. Max Pemberton, an NHS psychiatrist, who says that, and I quote, being alcoholic is not a disease. He goes on to say the so-called disease model of addiction first began being widely promoted in the late 90s. It started in America, and obviously where so many things do start in America, and some have argued that the motivation was to ensure health insurers couldn't wriggle out of funding treatment. I think importantly, he states that viewing alcoholism as a disease doesn't help the alcoholic, and that drinking is an attempt to blot out intense emotional pain and psychological distress. In other words, people choose to drink alcohol, and that's the way I see it. In Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life, she says that alcoholism equates to what's the use? Feelings of futility, guilt, inadequacy, and self-rejection. Her positive mantra for this is, I live in the now, each moment is new, I choose to see my self-worth, I love and approve of myself. I must admit, though, that there have been times in my life when I have drank myself into oblivion, because reality was too painful. But I'm glad to say that these occasions have been few and far between. I have also witnessed my friend and ex-partner Tom struggling with alcoholism. It has at times been very distressing to witness. The times he fell down, was mugged, waking up in a police station after shoplifting, and he couldn't remember how he got there. With all this in mind, it is a miracle that he managed to write his autobiography, Past My Sell-By Date, which will be out in a few weeks' time. So I'm pleased today to say that I've got Tom with me, and I'm just going to ask him a few questions about alcohol. So Tom, tell us, when did you start drinking?
I started drinking when I was about 16 and a half, quite soon after I emerged from a stint in the approved school. I say stint, but it was actually 5 years. And I couldn't integrate in society. I felt lacking in confidence, low self-esteem, and alcohol filled in the gap.
So
made me feel I could, just made me confident.
So did alcohol give you problems even when you were younger?
Well, I told you, I started drinking when I was 16 and a half. Unfortunately, when I was drunk, I used to go and commit crimes because that's all I'd ever listened to when I was in the approved school. Everybody just talked about crime. It was inculcated in every fibre of my being. And so when I got drunk, I used to put into practice what I'd learned in the approved school, but unfortunately I didn't have any real skill or talent for crime, and I always got nicked, and very soon I was back inside again. Like this, following the approved school and my drinking episodes, I was back in the senior approved school, and I spent a year there, came out, the same thing happened. I felt low self-esteem, lacking in confidence again, and started drinking with the same results.
So would you say the reason that you drank was to give you confidence?
Yeah, confidence, bolster my low self-esteem, and so I could integrate and talk to people on a level playing field.
How do you think it affected your health over the years?
I never thought about it because I wasn't out long enough for it to have a deleterious effect on my health, because I was pretty soon banged up. And when you were put into approved school, Borstal was my next stop after the senior approved school. I was there 3 years, came out, and the same thing happened again. Drunk. You know, it's a boring, oft-repeated cycle. I was on a conveyor belt of no return, you know.
Isn't it true to say, though, that you do come from a family of drinkers?
Well, I not only come from a family of drinkers, I came from a town, a city of drinkers, because everybody drank in those days. The Geordies are notorious, infamous for drinking.
So you're talking about Gateshead, is that right?
Gateshead, Newcastle, whatever, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody drank. It was just a known thing. In fact, if you didn't drink or smoke, you were regarded with suspicion. That's how prevalent it was, you know. So anyway, in and out, Borstal, come out, same thing, low self-esteem, lacking in confidence, drink. Back in again, Borstal, another 3 years. And this is why I sustained for so long, because I drank, but only in between prison sentences or Borstal sentences, you know.
So would it be right to say, in actual fact, that in some respects, maybe going to prison saved your life?
People tell me about the wasted years, and I say the wasted years are the ones that spared me, and it's why I'm still here giving this interview. Had it not been for the wasted years, i.e. in and out of institutions, I wouldn't have been here now. I would have died a long, long time ago.
And so how old are you now, Tom?
I'm 75 and a half. I'll be 76 in December.
And so, as I said earlier, you've not been drinking for a month. So what was the turning point for you to suddenly have this U-turn?
It was almost like, well, you suggested it. I don't know. It was just like a different spirit had entered me. Suddenly, I turned off it completely. And it wasn't plotted, it wasn't planned. Just one day I felt, no more. I just don't want to do it anymore. And the very thought of tasting anything alcoholic or smoking a cigarette just filled me with nausea, you know. And I didn't bother. You know, when good things happen to you, you don't really examine them too closely. It's only when bad things happen that I put them under a microscope and sort of want to know why. But when good things happen, I just take them in my stride and say, thank God. Maybe it came from above, who knows?
But anyway,
I've got no definitive answer for why I suddenly stopped. And for all I know, it may end tomorrow, but meanwhile, I'm enjoying sobriety and lack of smoking.
Well, on that note, I'm going to say thank you, Tom. And another time we'll talk about your book. But for now, I'm just going to say goodbye.
My pleasure.
I look forward to your comments and feedback, so please get in touch on vanessa@radiofreeuk.org. And in the meantime, have a great day. Bye for now.